Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've all heard the phrase, seeing is believing. But some people won't believe something they can't see. Now, I've never seen Mount Everest, but I trust that it exists. Angels cannot always be seen. They belong to another world, and they don't appear to belong to our daily lives. So should we believe in them? You should. They are not the product of the vivid imagination of the ancients. They don't fall into the category of trolls and elves or leprechauns. Angels are creatures of God, the same as you. Only they don't have physical bodies. The existence of angels is well attested in the scriptures. They appear in over 300 places. So knowing about angels and the work they do will have a very wholesome effect on our Christian lives. We should never dismiss the doctrine of angels as kid stuff. Bear in mind what Jesus says in Matthew 18 about the faith that he gives to young children, specifically faith he gives to babies, infants. He says, "Take heed that you do not despise any of these little ones." The Greek word is micron. It's pretty small. "Do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels," plural, "angels, always behold the face of my Father." So believing in angels is kid stuff. Let's have more of it. For Jesus says that unless you have faith like the faith of a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But now that said, please remember, Jesus said a childlike faith, not a childish faith. The angels teach us to worship God with great reverence, awe, and humility. And our Lutheran orders of worship are designed to worship God in just that way. As we read in Psalm 96, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Now, we humans, we are God's chief visible creatures, but angels are the chief invisible creatures. We cannot always see them, but there are cases in the Bible where they have appeared and could be seen. In the book of Revelation, an angel tells St. John that they are his fellow servants, and that's a wonderful statement. We have the privilege of worshiping God alongside the heavenly host of angels. And your service to the cause of Jesus Christ gives you something in common with them themselves. We are fellow servants. Now, because of this, angels are sent to give you aid and comfort in this life. And the Bible is filled with accounts of how the angels have done just that. Psalm 34, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." Psalm 91, "He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." And Hebrews 1, about angels, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation?" We read in Genesis that an angel led Lot and his family out of Sodom and saved them from destruction. Angels closed the jaws of the lions so that Daniel was spared. And angels opened the prison doors to free the apostles, Peter and John. The leading angel in heaven is Saint Michael. He is described as the archangel, the only angel that is given that particular rank and title. And we read that Michael is powerful. In the book of Daniel, we read that Michael alone is able to uphold the Savior against the power of the devil. In the book of Jude, we read that Saint Michael contended with the devil over the body of Moses, and he prevailed. Now, he did that to protect Moses' body and allow him to rest in peace on the mountain until the day of the resurrection. Therefore, Saint Michael is the most powerful created being that God ever made. And I say that deliberately, created being. Jesus was not created. Jesus is very God of very of God, begotten, not made. Jesus is not a creature of God. We are. And Michael is the most powerful of them. Today's Old Testament lesson from Daniel teaches us that Saint Michael is the guardian angel of the Christian church. Daniel was told that Michael is the great prince who stands watch over your people. Now, even though the Christian church has been and still in many places is persecuted, it will never fall. Because, first of all, we have the word of Jesus who said the gates of hell will never prevail against it. And it has the protection of Saint Michael and his angels. Now, how does that apply to us? Well, we also have our own individual guardian angels, plural. Our gospel today, Matthew 18, Jesus says that the tiniest of children have their own angels in heaven. And I can tell you there have been a lot of prayers for little Cain over these months. And he certainly had the protection of the angels when he was born. And he had the love of his family and friends, his aunts, his uncles, his grandparents, and their friends. And our prayers were answered. And now here's little Cain, baptized into Jesus Christ today. Now the word angels in Matthew 18 is plural, meaning you have more than one. And it's in the possessive form of the noun, so we call them guardian angels, because Matthew says that little children have their very own. They belong to us from the time we're tiny children. Isn't that a wonderful and comforting statement that God has said, that we have such good friends, the angels, watching out for us? And certainly we can trust in God in all things, including that promise. Now, what do guardian angels do? I wish I can say that they will keep us forever out of trouble or prevent us from ever getting hurt, as they did for Lot and Daniel and Peter and John and so many others. I wish the guardian angels could have been with my little brother from every summer from 1968 to 1972. He broke an arm or a leg. Summer, swimming season. That's not what the angels do. The fact is, God has revealed only one thing that the guardian angels do, and it's found in Luke's gospel in the account of the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus says that there was a rich man who had a magnificent life, and there was a beggar named Lazarus covered with sores that people laid at his doorstep. The rich man permitted Lazarus to eat from his trash, competing with wild animals for the garbage and table scraps. We're told that the unbelieving rich man died and was buried. In fact, as I read that text, I say the rich man died and was buried. Nothing at all about that statement lists any sorrow. Died and was buried. He went to hell, and there he begged for a messenger to go to his equally unbelieving brothers and warn them, but he was told no. Lazarus also died, but Luke's gospel tells us that he was carried by the angels, plural, angels, to Abraham's bosom. So from this we learn that our guardian angels watch over our souls, and when our time comes, they take our souls straight to heaven. If you've ever been with a Christian at the moment of their death, as I have many times, you were in the presence of angels, not one, but many. Again, I wish I could say that they keep you from suffering, illness, or injury, but the scripture makes no such claim. Instead, They keep you in the true faith until God summons you. And then they take your soul to heaven, where in Psalm 16, we read that in God's presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Many things I can say about angels, but I will close with this. Sometime after God rested from creation, there was a rebellion in heaven led by Satan and his followers, the evil angels. We know nothing much more than that. But we do know they were forever cast out of God's presence and doomed to never be permitted to repent or receive forgiveness. The holy angels of God do not need a Savior. The evil angels do not have a Savior, but we have Jesus Christ. The holy angels sang at his birth. They comforted him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they stood guard during his brief stay in the tomb. And then the holy angels announced his resurrection. And the scriptures tell us that when Jesus returns in glory at the end of time, Saint Michael the archangel will give a great shout to announce it. You know, like little Cain, we've been given a wonderful gift in holy baptism. Unlike those evil angels, we who are baptized can repent of our sins and receive forgiveness. So please don't take that gift lightly. Take it with thankfulness. And may the holy angels watch over us, that the wicked foe may have no power over us. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise for the offertory on page 192.